I'd like to discuss this evening a fascinating sugya on halacha, a piece of halacha, which, if you think about it, it's interesting that it's pretty unique to Hanukkah. Maybe you find one or two applications in all of Shas. Really, the whole premise that it's built on is really questionable. But let's see the Gemara first, and then hopefully we could get a little bit of a better understanding. The Gemara says in the Seches Shabbos, and the Chav Gimel and Alf, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Chatzer sheyesh la beis psachim. If a person has a courtyard, and the courtyard has two entrances. Let's just, to make it easier, let's say that you have a house and you have a large courtyard that goes around the entire area of your house, front, back, right, and left. And you have an entrance from the front that opens to one street. You have an entrance to the back that opens to a different street. The Gemara says that tzricha shtei neros, you have to light two menorahs. One at the entrance to each courtyard, right? We're going with the Gemara times when a person would light the neros of their Hanukkah at the gate or the entrance to the courtyard of the chatzer, and the Gemara says they have to do that. So Gemara says, Rava says, Lo Amar and El Mishtei Ruchos. That's only like the case I gave, where you have one opens, you know, one door, one opening to the chatzer is on the eastern side, and the other is on the western side. But let's say you happen to have a courtyard, and there's two openings to the courtyard, you don't need to have in that situation. Gemara says that eventually Gemara goes through a whole back and forth what the reason is. Gemara says at the end that we're talking about a situation where we suspect that the people who pass by will pass by one courtyard, one side of the courtyard, and they'll think, they know there's enough opening on the other end. So there's one on the east side and there's one on the west side, and they know that the one on the east side doesn't have a menorah. Probably if the guy didn't light a menorah on this one, he probably didn't have a menorah on the other one, and they'll suspect that he doesn't light Hanukkah candles in. Therefore, the halacha is, says the Gemara, he has to have two menorahs, two chanukiyot, one at the opening to his courtyard on the eastern side, in front of his house, and one at the western side, which is the rear of his house. That's what the Gemara says. What's kind of flawed about this whole premise is that we made a halacha for people who don't give you the benefit of the doubt. Right? Doesn't the submission of the same Pirkei Avos, having done as galadam l'kav zuchus, you have to give every person the benefit of the doubt? So just because the guy doesn't have a menorah on this side, he probably has it on the other side. Yeah, halacha, for some reason, did not take that into account, and they obligate you, to require you to light a second menorah. Very suspicious, a very strange type of thing. Okay. But we don't have a choice, because that's what the halacha is. It's a Shulchan Aruch also passes this way. And the question is, your second menorah lighting that you do, what type of menorah, what's going on over there? What do you do, and how do you do it? So the Ran and the Meiri both say that let's just say you light at the entrance to the courtyard of the front of your house. You light there. Now you're not done yet because you have to light at the entrance that's behind your house also because people are walking by there. However, says the Ran, since the second lighting is only because of Chashan, because people are going to come to suspect you that maybe you didn't light your menorah at all, you don't make a bracha. So you make a bracha when you light at the entrance to your chatzer that's in front of your house, let's just say. Then you walk around or walk through the house. You walk all the way to the back and you light at the entrance to the courtyard that's in the back of your house to the other street that's parallel to your front. Then you don't make a bracha because the whole reason that you only do it is because of chashan. Because maybe we'll suspect you, that doesn't obligate a bracha. And that is the psak halacha. That's the final ruling of the Rama in Shulchan Aruch. You have to light one in the front. You have to light one in the back. But you only make a bracha on the first one. You don't make a bracha on the second. However, the Pri Chadash brings the Rashba. Rashba is talking about another very interesting case, which is somewhat related to this, and that is a case called a ben pakua. What's a ben pakua? A ben pakua is that you check a cow, and when you open up the belly, you find a live calf. You take out the calf, and the calf lives beautifully, happily. It lives on a happy cow's farm. Now, when you decide you want to shecht that happy cow, but you want to eat it, you don't really have to shecht it. Why don't you have to shecht it? Because the shechita of its mother already permitted it to be eaten. This is one of the anomalies in halacha. We have a cow walking around live that's already been shechted. Just like if you want to eat the leg of the cow, you could eat the leg of the cow. So you could also eat the ben pakua, the animal that was inside of the cow. So midoraisa, you literally could go over to it and you could kill it however you want, and then you could eat it. However, the Rabbanan came along and said, we don't want people not shechting animals. Imagine a whole family's on a Chol HaMoed trip and they come to Happy Cow Farms and they see a guy walking over to the cow. He takes a thing out of his pocket. A
big steak.
Yeah. And he goes, guys, would you like a piece of the animal? Makes a barbecue for you. What do you mean you didn't shecht it? I don't have to shecht it. It's a Ben Pukula. He comes into class the next day. Rebbe, we saw this religious guy. He had a long beard and a big yarmulke. And he said, you don't have to shecht cows. Right? Because that's how it is. By the time he gets to the third or fourth guy, the story is that the guy ate the cow while it was alive. That's how things work. So the Rabbanim came along, and the Rabbanim said that you have to shech a Ben Pakua so that people who are standing by don't think that you don't have to defeat, that you don't have to slaughter. Now, you make a bracha when you shech the cow, because usually when you make a bracha, you make a bracha when you shech the Ben Pakua. So the Rajba says you do. Because even though it doesn't need shechita, but once the Rabbanan came along and mandated it to have shechita, it becomes a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. And we make a bracha on many mitzvahs to Rabbanan, such as Hanukkah candles, such as reading the Megillah, and others. So Memela, the halacha is, says the Rajba, that you make a bracha when you shech that Ben Pakum. Even though the only reason you shech is mehachashat, so no one should suspect you of not shechting. There's a pre-chadash. It seems we can extrapolate this to our case as well. That once the Rabbanu came along and said you have to light a second menorah, even though they only did it because someone may suspect you're not lighting, but once they did, it becomes a mitzvah to Rabbanu. And if it becomes a mitzvah to Rabbanu, then you have to make a bracha. So it comes out, we have a machlokas here between the Meiri and the Ram that say, nah, you only make a bracha on your first menorah. The second one's just there with Nea Chashad because maybe people will be nervous they're not lighting a menorah. Okay. Light it, but with no bracha. Maybe the opinion of the Rajba, which seems like you do have to light it with a bracha. Oh, the Rabbi Yeruchim Olshan, the liquid Rosh Yeshiva, and the Sefer Yerech Lemoadim, says that L'chaira, it would seem logically that the disagreement between the Rajba on one hand and the Ran and the Meiri on the other hand, if you have to make a bracha, is about the actual light that you light on the second side. So you lit at your first side, you made a bracha, and you're coming out from the second side, the back side of your house, to light. When you light that, is your menorah mamish considered Neros Chanukah? That's regular Neros Chanukah. Ah, you have one in the front. You have to do two Neros Chanukah. You have to do one in the back as well. Or it's not Neros Chanukah. It's not Chanukah candlelight. There, so people shouldn't suspect you of doing things that you're not supposed to do. That's not really Neros Chanukah. So Rabbi Yeruchim wants to say that that's the machlokas. The Rav and Meiri say when you go around to the other side of your house and you light the menorah there, and the only reason you're lighting it so no one should say this guy doesn't like menorah, that's not Neros Chanukah. That's just there. So that no one should suspect them. But to call it Neros Chanukah, it's not Chanukah candles. You see, you can't make a bracha shekel yishlam to it's not Lahadik Neros Chanukah. It's not Neros Chanukah. It's just there so that nobody should suspect the Jewish guy of not lighting Chanukah candles. However, the Rechadish and the Rajba learned, no, that once the Rabbanim came along and they instituted it, you made a bracha. You light on the other side. It's regular Chanukah candles. Light Chanukah candles, they have to make a bracha. Chayra says, Rabbi Yeruchim, that would be the disagreement. This has tremendous far-reaching ramifications. Because if you learn, like the opinion of the Meiri and the Ram, that's not really Chanukah candles, well, then there's no reason to light more than one, even on the eighth day. Right? The whole mitzvah of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, that you light one each and every day, and then one for each person in the family, that doesn't apply over there, because it's not really Neres Chanukah. Also, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's from the Gemara, that if a person can't afford Nair, they can't afford the oil, they can't afford the wicks, the candles, they have to sell the shirt off their back to purchase it. Does he have to sell the shirt off his back to purchase the one that the menorah that he's lighting out back? Like the Rana, the Meiri, no, it's not Nair's Chanukah anyways. Like a pre-Chadash, it would seem like he has to. Or, we know there's a halacha that in addition to the person lighting the menorah, if you haven't lit the menorah yet and you see the menorah, you can make a bracha, Shasa Nisim, or just by seeing it. Right? Haroa Ner Chanukah Mevarech. Now, could you do that on the second menorah that the guy lit? It would seem not if you hold like the Ran and the Meiri. It's not near his Chanukah. It's just there, so the guy shouldn't suspect you. Kind of like a scarecrow. That's a good way of looking at it. The scarecrow, it's not real. But if you learn like the opinion of the Rashba, that if you make a brach, consider near his Chanukah, it's fine, we'll have a Chanukah. Well, then yes. All these halachas will apply. You'll have to do Mahadrin and a Mahadrin the best way possible. You'll have to sell the shirt off your back. If someone sees it, they can make a bracha shasa nisim. And there'll be the prohibition of deriving benefit from the candles, just like there is on Eretz Chanukah. going to run the Erie, you could derive benefit from it. It's just there, so nobody should suspect you not lighting Meir's Chag. That's what it seems like this opinion is. I mean, this reminds me of something which I've shared on this year before, but not so proud about it, but I'm a little proud of it. And we know that there's a big debate if Jews should participate in Halloween. I know it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. I didn't mix them up. And Halloween. I know they're not at all similar to one another. So some say that you should put out some candy in front of your house. It's Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky did it. Others say you shouldn't. You're participating in a holiday. Has its sources deeply rooted in idolatry and superstition. So one year, I decided to be a smart aleck. I put out a little platter in front of my house on like a little stool. And I wrote on the platter, take one. And I didn't put anything on the platter. So that's the second menorah, according to the Ran and the Meir Lahavdil, right? It's just there for window dressing. It's not that I'm participating in trick-or-treating. Tony's laughing at me because he saw me doing it from across the street. In the past, I have put stuff out. That year, I don't know. Maybe we didn't have anything left over from Shabbos party. I don't know. I just decided I don't want to be like a jerk, but at the same time, I don't really want to participate. So that's the best way to solve the solution. Okay. Now, the Orchas Chaim says the following halacha. He says, listen carefully, because this starts mixing things up a little bit. Because right now, it's very straight cut, it seems. Rather than we say it's not considered Neiros Chanukah, therefore no bracha, etc., etc. And the Prichadash, in the name of the Rajma, says it is considered. But the Orchas Chaim makes life a little bit more difficult. Because he says, like, he writes, that if you have a courtyard or a home that has two doors, you have to light two Neiros. You have to make sure you light two menorahs. However, says the Orchas Chaim, you only have to make one bracha. Why? So he gives two reasons. Number one, he says that the din of Ner Chanukah is not a din in the Chafetza. It's not a din in the object, in the menorah. It's a din in the Gavra, in the individual. He says, you have a chiyuv to light your menorah. Now, if you have two doors, you have a chiyuv to light two menorahs. But it's still one mitzvah. You don't get two mitzvahs. So therefore, you make a bracha on the first one. And that bracha works for both, says the Pri Chadash. So he first wants to say, even if you say that it's two mitzvahs, the first one says it's just one mitzvah. Lighting Chanukah candles. Now you happen to be in a situation because you bought a house that has a front courtyard and a backyard, a front yard and a back door that open up to a regular public thoroughfare. So therefore you have to light two menorahs, but it's still one mitzvah. Therefore he says you make one bracha on the first one, you don't make a bracha on the second one. Then he adds and he says, even if you say that it's two mitzvahs, but still, when a person does two mitzvahs in close proximity to one another, he only makes one bracha. And he gives a proof. This proof doesn't apply to anyone on this call, as far as I'm aware. And that is that Ashkenazim, we make two brachas on our tefillin. Sfaradim make one bracha. Even though, or if Ashkenazim makes one bracha, it's sufficient. Even though it's two mitzvahs, shalyan and shalorim. The halacha says you're doing one mitzvah right after the other in close proximity to one another. And therefore, one bracha works. So says the Orchas Chaim, that you should know that could be he holds that it's Neiros Chanukah. Could be the Orchas Chaim will hold, like the opinion of the Rajma and the Pri Chadash, that it is considered a bona fide Neiros Chanukah, but you still won't make another bracha. Why don't you make another bracha? Well, either because it's one big mitzvah, and therefore it just says two menorahs, or since you're doing one mitzvah in close proximity to the other, the halacha is you'll only make one bracha. Which begs the question, and really we need explanation about this, what was the Pri Chadash in the name of the Rajma thing? Because the Rashba says it's a mitzvah. Yeah, it's not just window dressing. It's actually Neiros Chanukah. And he says, therefore, you make another bracha. What do you mean you don't make another bracha? That's not how the Prichadosh learned. That's not halacha. If you do two mitzvahs, one after the other, you only make one bracha. Or for sure, if you say that it's just one mitzvah on the gavra, on the individual, not just two separate mitzvahs, you only make one bracha. So yes, I agree with you, Reb Prichadosh and Reb Rashba. Yes, it is considered Neiros Chanukah. Even the one in the back is considered Neiros Chanukah. You still won't make two brachas. So what is the Rajma hold? Why would you make two brachas? That's the question that we need to have a little bit of understanding. So here is a fascinating, absolutely interesting answer. Mechaber paskins in Siman Tav Resh Ayin Beis that if a person did not light menorah when he was supposed to, so let's just say, see a sunset according to Islam, 18 minutes after sunset, Hasidish nightfall, whatever it is, and the guy didn't light. So he could still light. As long as people are around, he could still light. If there's no one around anymore, but he's still light. The Shulchan Aruch paskins he could, and he could even light with a bracha. In Avram, and the Beis Yosef both say, you should know that this is really a machlokas. It's really a big question in halacha if there's even a mitzvah on Neres Hanukkah when no one is around anymore. Maybe it's a pointless lighting. Maybe it's literally like turning on the electronic lights in your house. They say, listen, of course you should light, because maybe we pass can like the opinion that says that you should light. How could you make a bracha? It's a suffix. It's a doubt in halacha if you're even obligated. And we know whenever we have a suffix bracha, a doubt in a bracha, particularly in a drabanan, you never say a bracha. Why is this an anomaly? Why is it that the Mechaber and the Torah both say, it seems, that even if you light after the required zman, you still make a bracha? That itself is a doubt in halacha. It's a subject, it's a machlokes, and it's not verified one way or the other. So light, just to be sure, but you shouldn't be able to make a bracha. So how could the Mechaber possibly make you make a bracha? This is the question that the Magen Avraham has. So the Mar Tzia answers the following. He says, The bracha on menorah, on Neres Chanukah, is different than every other bracha in the entire Jewish experience. Every other mitzvah, if you don't make the bracha, you fulfill the mitzvah. That gets up there Rosh Hashanah morning, and he doesn't say the bracha. And the makri says, kia, blows with kia, shvarim truah. As soon as he hits 30 kolos, fulfills his mitzvah. What do you mean? He didn't make a bracha. The bracha is not ma'akev. It's a nice thing to make a bracha. And it's like that with literally every mitzvah that we do. A person eats matzah, and they didn't say the bracha of Al-Chilas Matzah. And they go run to the rabbi. Rabbi, I forgot Al-Chilas Matzah. And I ate the matzah. Rabbi says, no worries. The bracha is not ma'akev. The bracha is not a part of the actual mitzvah. However, says the Mar Tzia that Ner Chanukah is different. Because a person lighting a candelabra, a person lighting a menorah, does not indicate whatsoever that he's doing it for the mitzvah. Al-Chanukah is a concept called Persume Nisa. And not just you have to do the mitzvah, but yeah, everyone has to know that you're being mefaris in the nes, that you're publicizing the nes. If you just light a menorah with no bracha, I don't know, maybe you decided to use some kind of weird contraption in your window. You know, you're having a romantic dinner, so you lit your old Zadie's candelabra. How do we know it's Neres Chanukah? It says in Marotzi, the only way we know it's Neres Chanukah is because you make a bracha. Now I know you're doing it for the writes the Mar Tzia, even though in every other situation in halacha, if you neglect to say the bracha, you don't fulfill your mitzvah, but not my Neros Chanukah. A Neros Chanukah without making a bracha is not considered a Neros Chanukah. Memela, that's the reason why the Mechaber and the Torah both paskin, that you make a bracha even in a situation of suffering. Because if it's late at night and you're lighting, and you don't light with a bracha, that's not even considered lighting to Neros Chanukah. It's zero. Maybe just lighting a candelabra. There's no Persume Nisa for no one, not even the people in the house. Therefore, even though it's a suffering, but not making a bracha is tantamount to saying you're not even trying to do the mitzvah. Therefore, in this situation, it's the exception. And therefore, you make a bracha, even in a situation of a suffering. This is how the Mar Tzia operates. So perhaps according to this, we can explain that's the opinion of the Pri Chadash. Yes, before, the Pri Chadash and the Rashba said, and if you light your menorah in your front corner, make a bracha on the front corner. Then you go around to the back and you light the menorah in the back corner. Says the Pri Chadash and the Rashba, you make another bracha. We ask the question, why do you make another bracha? We know that by Neres Chanukah, maybe it's only an obligation on the individual, so why you make another bracha? Usually when a person does two mitzvahs consecutively, one after the other, you only make a bracha on the first one. So why would you make a bracha? The answer is, you have to make a bracha. Even though you just made a bracha on the front, because you go around to the back and you light Chanukah candles with no bracha, that's not Chanukah candles. That's nothing. Mele Paskin Zerajim on the Pri Chadash, that you have to make a bracha, even when you're lighting your second Neros, because that's what turns it into Neros. Chari, that's what comes out. Now, there is a fascinating Beis Halevi, Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Sr. The Beis Halevi says a tremendous chiddush in halacha. In the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, there's a machlokas, if kafsa zakukla or kafsa ein zakukla. You light your menorah, everything is perfect. One of your kids comes by and they blow up the menorah. Do you have to relight it? One opinion of the Gemara is, no. It's just to light it once it's lit. Even if it went out before a half hour, you don't have to relight it. And the other opinion is kafsa ein zakukla. If it goes out, you have to relight it. Rekta Beis Halevi. Again, maybe halachically, once you lit it, you're good. You have to light it for a different reason. Why? So that someone shouldn't walk by your house 10 minutes after sunset and see no menorahs lit in your window. So Even though we pass it, that kafsa ain't zakukla. Then if it goes out, you don't have to relight it, but you have to relight it. You have to relight it because people are going to think you didn't light menorah, like this Gemara, where you have two different entrances, you have to light up both entrances. The Beis HaLevi answers that yes. When we have a machlokas kafsa zakukla, ain't zakukla, if it goes out, if you have to light it, if you don't have to light it, that machlokas is just an intrinsic machlokas. If it goes out and you relight it, is that Neres Hanukkah? Well, according to the opinion that you don't have to relight it, no, it's not Neres Hanukkah. Because you can't be left at home with no menorah in your window at a time that all of Klai Yisrael is lighting their window, lighting their menorahs, you will, says the Beis HaLevi, have to relight your menorah. The Beis HaLevi paskins, it seems like this, that if your menorah goes out, even though halachically you don't have to rekindle it, you should rekindle it so someone can walk by your house and think that this guy doesn't like Hanukkah candles. Now, the Beis HaLevi himself says that he's very bothered. You don't find this halach in Shulchan Aruch. Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch bring this down? Why doesn't Mishnah Berurah say something about it? Well, I guess the Beis HaLevi didn't know about the Mishnah Berurah, but whatever, the Shulchan Aruch or some of the postings to say it. But he says he's bothered by that. But that's the Maisa, how he paskins la'alacha. And I will tell you, even though we'll see momentarily that it's not really like this, Om Zalman and Arbach Zichron Levracha had two entrances to his home, in the front and in the back. I was by Shlomo Zalman's apartment. And one time, on Hanukkah, a guy knocked at the back door. Shlomo Zalman opened the door, and the guy says, Shlomo Zalman, why don't you light menorah? Shlomo Zalman said, I did. I lit in the front. The guy says, I thought this is where you were. All of a sudden, Shlomo Zalman says, this halacha at Shulchan Aruch just played itself out on my house in Shari Chazet. A guy comes to my door and thinks I don't light menorah. Chutzpah, you're accusing Shlomo Zalman of not lighting? He says, this is mamish halacha. So Shlomo Zalman went, and he put a second menorah. He only put one light. He did not put an additional one each night, and he didn't make a bracha. Now, why didn't he make a bracha? According to the way we came out of it, it seemed like he should make a bracha. Okay, it seems like Shulchan Aruch, you know, but what's the point? Why don't you make a bracha? So here, the postgame, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, and Alicha Shlomo, and Rav Nissim Karelitz, and his Sefer Chut HaShani, they both say that nowadays this halacha doesn't really apply. Because if you walk by a Jewish person's house, there's no menorah in his window. Number one, maybe he's Hasidish. Hasidim, many Hasidim don't light in the window, they light on the table. Number two, maybe the guy didn't light just because you light at sunset or a few minutes after sunset. Maybe the guy was only lighting at 10 o'clock. That's his minhag to light very late. Maybe he's waiting for his whole family to come home from work because many people don't light right away. They wait for the kids and I want to come home from school and I want to come home from work. So based on that, in the society we're part of nowadays, a guy not having a menorah in his window doesn't mean he's not lighting a menorah. It just means he's not lighting in the window or he's not lighting now. So this halacha of chashad really doesn't apply, and one does not have to light two menorahs. Even Rosh Shlomo Zalman, who was machmir because of this situation, he did light a second menorah, but he didn't light more than one because he holds it's not really a menorah. He definitely didn't make a bracha because he holds it's not really a menorah. God should have given him the benefit of the doubt. However, this is the final piece on this. Moshe Feinstein, in Nigros Moshe, writes, and maybe this has another application. A person goes away. Go away for it. You light Hanukkah candles where you're staying. Guy walks by your house. Oh, the landlord didn't light menorah. Tony Winston looks across out of his window. He looked across the street and he's like, this year the landlord's not light menorah on the fourth night. What do they have against the fourth night? Tony has no idea that we're not home. So Ramosha says like this, if you're not home at all, Tony looks, he says, Taka, there's no lights on in the house. They probably went away. They probably went to some fine community to celebrate Hanukkah during regular times. Ramosha says, but if let's say you go away for 5 hours and you come back at 11 o'clock and Tony's about to go to sleep, he looks out the front window, the Landau's are back. There's still no menorah in their window. Tony doesn't know that we lit menorah where we were for the night. And halacha is, says Ramosha, you should leave. Not because of Tony, just because someone may walk by your house and say, they're back and there's no menorah. That's really strange. They not light on the fourth night? What do they have against the fourth night? Fourth nights matter. Make a new campaign. Hashtag fourth nights matter. So Mamela says Ramosha is probably better to light. Now, according to Ramosha, I don't think you would light with a bracha. And I don't know that you have to light more than one candle. And you may be allowed to have hanah from it. I don't think you have to sell the shirt off your back for it. But at the same time, one should light, and that's a particular situation. I'm going to conclude with a paragraph from the Sefer Lekach Tov. Lekach Tov is a more modern Sefer. It's a beautiful Sefer with a Pirush and Chumash, and he also wrote on some other aspects of Yiddishkeit and Jewish life. And he concludes like this. This is in Yalkut Lekach Tov. in the volume called Chaim Shel Torah, Chelek Beis. And he says like this. He says, sadly, to our consternation, people don't judge one another favorably. He says, for many of us, on the contrary, our first view, first blush, not to give people the benefit of the doubt. And he says, and don't worry, it's not a modern issue. It's already an issue for thousands of years. And I'll show you where. He brings this Gemara and he brings the halacha that if you have a courtyard that has two doors, you have to light on one because we suspect maybe you didn't light it properly. Which Nagura says the reason is because people would say, maybe since he didn't light on this door, he didn't light on the other. So we see, says the Sefer Yaakov Lekach Tov, we see what a sickness this is. Somebody walks by somebody's house and he sees there's no menorah on one side. And he doesn't say, you know what, there's no menorah here because he lit on the other side. How sad. We don't give one another the benefit of the doubt. However, he concludes that he says, amongst great people, exact opposite. As Onish writes, he says that the person is on the right level. They surround themselves with good. That they always give other people the benefit of the doubt. And if there's ever an issue with themselves, they don't give themselves the benefit of the doubt. The bottom line is like this. Most people don't judge other people favorably. But when you turn to them and you say, how come you did this? They have 1,000 justifications. They can give you a million reasons why they're right. But they would never apply those reasons to anyone else. But a tzaddik is the exact opposite. When he sees someone doing something that shouldn't be doing, he has 1,000 reasons why the guy's not doing anything wrong. But when he looks at his own life, he's honest with himself and he never justifies. So this coming Hanukkah, let's try a little bit harder to make sure that we're down the kaf sechus. Baruch Hashem, this halacha doesn't really apply nowadays, but it does apply in life of family customs. Like Mara says, if a person others favorably, then Hashem gives them the benefit of the doubt as well, which is always a great weapon to have in our arsenal. Yashar Koach, everyone, for listening. It's always a pleasure learning together. Stay tuned for the next 2 weeks of Yitzhak Shem.
But if you like...
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rabbi, if you like the menorah, it's to say, raise